Welcome to the Family Life Podcast Network. I'm Brian Goins, host of Married with Benefits, where we're passionate about discovering the benefits of saying I do. This week, we're here with Shanti Feldhahn, Harvard-trained researcher, author, marriage speaker. You know, this is probably the number one question that Shanti gets after every conference that she does, and that is, how can I help my husband hear me? He always seems to go right into Mr. Fix-It mode. Well, I can fix that problem for you. Or really, Shanti can. She's got some tips to help you feel heard every time. Do you remember the video, The Nail?
The nail video. Like, absolutely.
That is one of the funniest videos, I think. Now, how is you as a woman watching that? Did you relate to it? Like, oh, this is here. Oh, come on. She's an idiot. She's got the nail in her head. And for those that, if you haven't seen it, if you just look on YouTube, look up The Nail.
It's not about the nail.
It's not about the nail. Yeah. You'll find it. It's hilarious. But how did you feel watching it as
a
woman?
Here's the thing. Okay, every woman thinks it's hilarious too, but we're also like, you're not getting it. Mm-hmm. Because, and the title of that, It's Not About the Nail, is actually the case. And this is what we tell the men and ladies. If you are wondering if your husband just wants to fix it to get you to stop talking, no. Although that may be the case in some instances. But most of the time, he's actually seeing this problem you have, this emotional problem, and he wants to remove the problem. He wants to remove what's causing you to feel so bad. So that's why he's jumping to fix it.
Yeah.
If you came to me with a nail video.
If you came to me with a splinter, right?
Yes.
Let's get the tweezers and get this thing taken care of. So you've got an emotional
problem. That would solve the problem.
And we would be done with the pain and we could get on to whatever it is that we need to get on to. But like, you've got an emotional splinter. That's what I'm hearing you talk about.
Yes.
So it's when you have emotional splinters.
And here is what guys don't get, okay? And so, ladies, this is what now you can share with your husband, because this is truly what men don't understand. Mm-hmm. When you say, I don't want you to fix it, I just want you to listen to your husband, he is, I guarantee you, because I've talked to thousands of men about this, he is thinking to himself, I have been listening for 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Like, what do you mean? I just want you to listen.
Right.
Like, I've already been listening.
Mm-hmm.
And here's what the difference is that they don't realize that for us as women, what that means is, I want you to listen to my feelings.
Hmm.
And here is the hard part for a guy. And when Jeff and I do marriage conferences, we see the men all lean forward when I explain, here is what you need to do. Guys, you have trained yourself, and you can tell your husband this, you've trained yourself your whole life that emotions and feelings and all those jangling feelings are going to kind of get in the way of solving the actual problem, mm-hmm. what you think is the actual problem, which is the splinter. It's, you know, the boss embarrassed her in front of all of her colleagues and she's upset. She's talking about it in the evening. And so you're like, okay, we have got to, let's set all these emotions aside because we got to figure this out.
We got to get the hit list.
What are you going to do? What are you going to do tomorrow when you walk into the office? So you get into this like go-to mode. And instead, guys, what you need to realize is that all those jangling emotions that you're trying to filter out in order to get to the problem, those emotions are what she most wants you to listen to. And so if you can tell your husband, I know this is going to sound really strange, but I want you to ignore the actual problem for a minute. I want you to set that aside, that step two. Step one is truly focus in on all these feelings that I have.
Okay. Well, as the guy, like, how do I do that? Because And really, we're talking to women on how to train your guy to do this. Is that our goal here in this podcast?
It is. Because every woman, or most women, have had this concern. And this podcast isn't for men.
Right.
But this is one where you can actually take this and help your guy understand this in the way that you're going to need.
Right.
So honestly, we tell the men, here's the thing. There's a step one and a step two here. And you don't need, and please reassure your husband, you don't need to take off your Mr. Fix-It hat entirely. God has made men to be a Mr. Fix-It.
Right.
You know, you don't want him to be your best girlfriend.
Mm-hmm.
But step two is when he gets to put on Mr. Fix-It hat.
Okay. So step one is what most men are missing.
Step one is what men are missing.
Okay.
And step one is, don't focus on the fact that my boss embarrassed me and I have to figure out what I'm going to do tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
Step one is focus on how I'm feeling about the fact that my boss embarrassed me and pull all those feelings out and ask what happened. And, you know, did you feel like people were laughing at you? Did you feel like, you know, did you feel like this was undermining your authority with your team? What went through your head? Like, for the guy to ask those kinds of questions is magic, you know, for a woman. And so help your man understand that if you ask those kinds of questions, you will now get a chance to talk about how you're feeling.
Yeah.
You will feel heard. And then once you feel heard by all those jangling feelings, that is when you relax as a woman. That is when you feel listened to. And that is when the guy can move to step two.
So before we go on to step two, because I would imagine if I'm a wife sitting out there, I'm going, okay, so do I get to play this podcast to my husband? Which may not be a bad idea.
It might not be a bad idea,
I felt
actually.
That about your book, For Women Only. I mean, I read For Women Only because my wife was reading. I'm like, and as a guy, I'm going, oh, that shouldn't be exclusive. I want to have the right to. I'm going to read that book. And it was the best book I've ever read on for men to read. Because
it's validating.
It's validating, and it's, and you explain in there, hey, this is how your guy is thinking. And it's like, I've never been able to say that. I just not had the words or the stats or whatever it might be to back up and go, that is what I'm feeling. And so it could be that the best application for this podcast today is that you go, hey, we're going to tune into this together.
Play
it for my husband. So I know it's for questions every wife is asking, but I would imagine most wives are going to go, well, okay, what do I teach him how to ask questions now? Is that my role? Am I, because that feels a little,
that feels a little weird.
A little weird, a little childish. And a guy hearing that's going, oh gosh, you know. But if Shanti and Brian were to say it, then maybe it's right. But what I hear you saying with step one is he's got to ask different questions.
Well, for a guy, look, his tendency is he just wants to make his wife feel better.
Yeah.
Right?
Of course we do. That's our goal.
That's the goal. And so he thinks he's going to make her feel better by, you know, fixing the issue, the problem.
Let's take out the boss. Do we need to take out the boss? We'll take him out.
Absolutely. And instead, no, this is where it helps him to know you can make me feel better just honestly in step one by listening to all this emotion. Now, I'll be honest. Okay, this is where the guys, when I tell them this, they get the glazed look in their eyes.
Because that's what I'm feeling.
And I was just going to say, you've got that glazed look in your eyes right now while you're looking at me. You're like, oh my gosh, because honestly, for men, they feel like this is like the embers of a burning fire and you're going to pour gasoline on the flame, you know, and this is going to be this explosion of emotion. I'm not going to be able to handle it. And instead, no, that's not true. Usually what happens, we say, it's not like gasoline on a flame of these emotions. It's going to make it worse. Think of it if the guys are listening to this, think of it as more, actually, it's more like drawing poison out of a wound.
Ooh.
That as you're pulling out all those toxic, negative feelings, she's getting a chance to talk about them. It's pulling it out of her. And you're going to see her relax more and more. You're gonna see her feel heard. She's gonna feel so much better. And frankly, guys, she's gonna feel so much closer to you. So whether or not your guy is listening to this or not, help him understand that in step one, this is truly where she will feel loved.
Yeah. And I think the hard part is for most guys, the only question they know to ask is, so how did that make you feel? And then it just gets
repetitive.
It gets repetitive.
Right.
But when you start going, how do I know, like let's say guys are listening to this, how do I know if I pulled that poison out?
Yeah.
What I heard you saying was you'll start noticing it.
She'll start relaxing a little bit. Her shoulders might even drop.
She'll start relaxing. She'll start feeling heard. And so maybe there's some signals you go, okay, you know that you're drawing that poison out. Because that's a great image. I want to do that.
And I was just going to say, ladies, while your guy is learning this during step one when he's practicing this, is honestly to be able to say things like, I really appreciate you listening to me.
So that's giving him clues. Yes,
yeah.
That's good.
We tell the men, and obviously this podcast isn't for men, but you're helping your man. We tell the men it really is going to feel weird the first couple of times you do this. This is what I hear from the guys anyway, that it feels kind of weird. But man, once you try it and you learn it, it's like a new little skill set, and it is so helpful. And so it'll be a good incentive for them to keep going.
And when I think about, we didn't come into marriage, either wife or husband didn't come into marriage with this relational skill set or toolbox.
Right.
It's like, okay, I know how to use this in my relationship, this hammer, this screwdriver, whatever it might be. And so what you're saying, anytime you try something new, anytime you use a new tool, it's going to feel awkward, clumsy. But as a guy starts getting skill, confidence comes. And then he'll do it more and more and more. And so the great thing, the pro tip here is to help him know that he's gaining confidence.
Yes.
Is to go, oh, gosh, that feels good when you ask me that. Or
Thank you so much for helping me think through this or whatever. And because step two is when he's going to start doing the, you know, okay, can I put on my Mr. Fix-It hat now? And you can even joke about it. Mm-hmm. Like he's going to want, ladies, I'm just telling you, he's going to want to feel like he's accomplished something. And you can help him feel that in step one. Like you have accomplished something by helping me work through these feelings.
Yeah.
But he's going to feel like that's a little wimpy.
Right. Like, that's not enough.
Yeah.
We still got to take the boss out.
Yeah. He's going to feel like, but I want to accomplish something real. Like that, you know, it just doesn't feel quite as real. And so my advice to women is let him. You know, you're a strong, competent woman. You could figure out what to do about the boss if you needed to. But it matters to him to be your, I don't know what the right word is, your hero.
Yeah, your hero, your knight.
Your knight in shining armor.
Yeah, your superhero, exactly.
With the great advice. And so that's the next advice, is to actually don't brush that off. Because a lot of women are so, oh, man, working through those feelings. That was it. Thanks so much. I'm good now. And he's going to feel like, we're not done with the conversation.
It's so interesting. I'm seeing, even with both of these steps, it's like the problem with most marriages is that the husband brushes off one step and the wife brushes off the other.
That is so true. That is a great way of putting it.
So it's like, in order for this to really work and go forward, the husband has got to embrace step one, which he typically doesn't, because he wants to, let's get to step two. Let's start fixing the issue. Let's get it done. Let's pull the poison out. Let me suck that poison out, whatever it might be. But the wife is going, no, it helps. You're actually fixing the problem when you're just listening to my feelings.
Yes.
And I know that I'm being heard. But for the wife, if she misses step two, then the husband doesn't
feel
like I'm adding anything to the equation. Because that's the problem, is that it feels like for a husband, he doesn't feel like he's adding any value when he's just asking questions.
Even though he doesn't feel like it.
He feels like it when he's actually trying to accomplish, generally. Most men are feeling that.
And I would actually say, honestly, ladies, there is a bit of a step three as well.
Mm-hmm.
This is where I'm going to say this very carefully. Ladies, don't try to put your husband in the position of being your best girlfriend. Don't expect him to listen to your emotions for hours. And this is one of these topics that's probably a whole nother podcast. But for guys, talking about emotions and feelings is really exhausting for a guy. Like it's actually, there's a brain wiring reason behind this because there's certain connections to certain emotional centers of the brain that are stronger in the women's brain than in the men's brain, and men's connections are stronger to the action centers. I know that's a big surprise to everybody.
You're right.
But what it means in practice is that he can do some of that pulling out the feelings, but I've had so many women who feel like he doesn't care about me because he won't sit and listen to me for hours the way that I do with my best girlfriends over coffee. And they think he's inadequate as a husband and he doesn't care. And ladies, you're trying to treat him like a girl. And guys aren't like that. And their brains literally get sort of full up in the amount of emotion they can process at one time. And so for me, step three is recognize when you've gone through these things and he's getting that glazed look in his eyes. And honestly, don't let yourself think he doesn't care.
Right.
Just recognize he's a guy.
He's just full.
And this is when, if you need to process this some more, call your best girlfriend, you know, and talk about what happened at work and listen to her gasps of horror as, you know, as you tell the story.
Yeah.
If you need that from someone in addition to your husband, don't put that on him.
Yeah.
Don't put all of that on him, I should say.
And it doesn't give the guy a pass. Like if he goes, oh, I'm full after 3 minutes. I mean,
let's be reasonable about this. What seems reasonable to you, Brian? If you and Jen are having this kind of conversation, how long can you listen to this emotionally, you know, deep discussion and pulling out those feelings before you start feel like you're missing things?
Yeah. You know, and I'm probably not like most guys.
Okay.
I'm from a pastor, you know.
Yeah,
I used to be a pastor.
True. You've trained your brain.
I've trained my brain, and I do have a high tolerance for, hey, let's talk about maybe even too much. So my wife tends to be more of the, let's just fix it.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah, it's a little mixed
awesome.
Up. I know a lot of wives are going, oh, great. I'd like to be, you know, married to that. Well, Not always, because then not as much gets done. And so be happy with the guy that you're married to. So I think that's a great question, is how long. Like, for most guys, I'm going to go, let's go 15 minutes. Let's go half of a sitcom, okay?
that's a great way of putting it.
And when you know that you're, and anything more than that would be bonus. Like, you go.
If he can.
If he can. But look for those clues. Look for that glazed eye. Look for that. And maybe even say, hey, could we talk about this again tomorrow? Or give an option. Give a way to go, hey, thanks so much for listening. I really appreciate the time. Maybe we could talk more about this later. And then see, he might have an opening. Like, no, what else do you need to talk about? Or it gives him an out to be able to go, no, because I need to get to the garage and fix this deal. You know, I got to get the bike put back together for our kids, whatever it might be.
Or I need to let my brain
go.
Yeah.
Won't say it like that. He'll say it like, oh, let's go get some work done. But it's a bit like, for a guy to get into that feeling area and just to talk about feelings, it's a bit like, have you ever tried to work up in the attic?
Mm-hmm.
It's like, you can do it.
Oh, but it's hard. It's cramped.
But I'm cramped. I'm not comfortable.
It's a good analogy.
I get hot. You know, it's I just can't stay there for long. But I'm willing to go there if we need to get something done.
That's a great analogy. Some of the guys described it as like trying to write with their left hand, like if they're right-handed.
Right.
Like, I can do it, but it's uncomfortable, and I have to practice it.
Yeah.
Talking about feelings.
Right.
So, ladies, what you need to hear is that guys want to be what you need. They just don't realize that really you have this step one of needing them to help pull out your feelings and talk about how you felt and how embarrassed you were and who was saying what behind your back and, you know, all how you felt about that. And, you know, there's the step two that you might miss. Which is, you know, let him be Mr. Fix-It and go into all the things and get his good advice and his perspective, because that's something that really matters to him.
Yeah.
And then step three, if you still need to talk about it, if he's got the glazed look in his eye and he really can't, he's up in the attic trying to work and banging his head on the eaves, you know, that's what it feels like talking about feelings, then say that's okay and don't put that on him like you don't care about me. And instead say, this is maybe the point where I need to call my best girlfriend. This is the point where I need to call my mom. This is the point where, you know, I need to tell her about what happened and get that input. And realize this is going to make both of you happier.
Absolutely. And maybe just a pro tip is just to ask the question, is this the right time to have this conversation? Like, if he's in the middle of a game he's really been wanting to watch.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah, you know, that should be like the basic starting point.
Yeah,
like,
just, and I know I don't want to assume anything, but sometimes your best conversation will be had if you just start with a question, hey, honey, I need to talk to you about something that happened at work today or with the kids or at church or whatever it might be. Could we talk about that right now? You know, I just need 15 minutes or 30 minutes.
And let him pull himself out of whatever he's doing. Because obviously, if it's important to you emotionally, if there's something really going on, it doesn't matter that the game is on. Like, he needs to turn his attention.
Exactly.
But give him a minute.
Like, give him a chance.
Give him a chance to
shift.
That.
As opposed to just sitting down and going, gosh, I got to tell you about this thing.
Yeah.
It's like, I'm...
What? Huh?
Yeah. All of a sudden, my mind doesn't move that quickly. You know, I'm over here. So those are good. And I really like that this concept of a lot of marriages are just missing it because one spouse is focused on one of those steps and they don't give the other spouse the chance to really engage in that step.
Yeah.
Whether that's step one, focusing on the feelings for the husband, or for step two for the wives, you're like, oh, I don't need to fix it now because I got my feelings all taken care of. Or to step three, hey, let's not expect our husband to be that best girlfriend. That's not his role. That's not who he is. But he does want to step in and help you with your feelings and with your problems. So believe that about your husband. He really does. I do. I just may not know all exactly how to do it. So this has been really helpful. What a great question. I know, pass this on to your friends, to those of you that know there's other marriages that are dealing with this. We'd encourage you, forward this podcast on. And if you have other questions, go to our Facebook account for Family Life and just ask a question to Shanti or to myself, to Brian. And you never know, it might come on to the next podcast. And here at Family Life, we are passionate about you experiencing oneness in the key relationships of your life. If you need more help and hope, we've got it at familylife.com. And by the way, we wanted to also let you know that this podcast is listener supported. So we appreciate many gifts from people just like yourself. And if you're interested in donating today, you can do that there at familylife.com. Just click the word donate. I'd love to give a special thanks to our audio producer, CJ3, and our project coordinator, Paige Johnson, for helping to pull this off. We couldn't do it without their help. Next time on Married with Benefits, we're going to answer the question, why does my husband seem to ignore me and the kids when he comes home from work? It seems like it takes him a while to want to connect with me. We're going to get a glimpse behind the curtain as to what's going on in his man brain. You'll find out it's nothing personal. I'm Brian Goins, seeking to help you love the one you're with. See you next time.